Well, it's time now for another edition, our penultimate, of Election Express US, our look at the US presidential election through the eyes of editors of the smaller communities that may well decide to vote. Who knows exactly? And we sally forth in a week when early voting gets underway in most states, it's already underway now, where Colin Powell, the former Secretary of State, joined a growing list of Republicans who've publicly endorsed Hillary Clinton. We also saw Trump supposedly take the lead, according to some opinion polls, in the crucial battle to ground states of Florida and Ohio. And then this sort of extraordinary development about the FBI saying it'll investigate additional emails related to Hillary Clinton's use of a private email system. And I've just been fully reading the Washington Post report discovered after the Bureau seized devices belonging to Mrs. Clinton's senior aide, Huma Abedin, and her estranged husband, Anthony Weiner. So that story just doesn't go away. This week, we're going to take a look at the races in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. Craig Gilbert is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Ron Southwick, or Southwick, I think it is from Pennsylvania's Reading Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Nice to be here.
Hi, how you doing?
Now, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania are both battleground states that have tended to vote Democrat in recent presidential elections. But as with many of the states, gentlemen, we've covered in this series, there's a large gap, it would appear, along demographic and maybe educational lines. Could you both tell me how this gap is looking in your state? Starting with you, Craig Gilbert.
Sure, it is a big gap. It's particularly when you combine gender and education, it's a really big gap. White college women have swung very hard in a Democratic direction, and blue-collar men without college degrees, have gone the other way. So there are really bigger gender gaps and bigger education gaps than we're used to seeing. And Wisconsin is one of a handful of battleground states where blue-collar white voters make up a majority of the vote. It's just that they've been typically voting more Democratic than their demographic counterparts in other states. So it's been both an opportunity and a challenge for Donald Trump. It's one of the reasons he's kind of come to Wisconsin and sort of targeted it as a potential Democratic pickup. But he's also has struggled here because it's a tough state for Republicans, and also because he has done poorly with college-educated voters, including college-educated voters in his own party.
Right. And what about in Pennsylvania then, Ron? How would you describe it? Critical to the outcome of the election, has a whopping 20 electoral college votes, so it's a must-win.
That's right. It's a must-win for really both campaigns. Only four states in the country have more electoral votes than Pennsylvania. One state, Illinois, does have as many. So, but with 20 electoral votes, we're seeing a lot of the candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, have both basically taken up residence in the Keystone State for the last few weeks. In fact, former President Bill Clinton is speaking in Reading right now as we're talking, or getting ready to speak in Reading right now as we're talking. So we're getting a lot of sense for the candidates. And I think we're seeing what we've been seeing in Wisconsin and some other places too. Trump is doing very well with blue-collar men, especially among college-educated men and women. Hillary tends to do a lot better.
Okay, so college educated still, this education issue, which is really seeming to emerge. Poverty, I gather, is a considerable problem where you are in Reading. Jobs, jobs and jobs seem to be to the forefront. Is that being made obvious in this race, presidential race, before we get to the Congress?
I think so. I mean, it definitely is a reason why Donald Trump is resonating with people here in and outside the city. The city is very heavily Democratic, even though the city is one of the poorest cities in the entire United States. A couple of years ago, New York Times did a piece on how we were, in fact, the poorest city in the country. So there's a lot of poverty here. But beyond poverty, there's, I think, a lot of frustration among people who maybe have jobs, but they haven't seen wage growth. They've been stuck in just earning the same amount of money or less or having to pick up a second job just to make ends meet. And I think that's where Donald Trump is resonating with some people. It's maybe partly because he's framing a message that they can relate to, and partly it's just because they just see a system that failed them and they want to, you know, they're willing to try something else.
Because I also noticed that you actually had some pretty good news job-wise this week. The Commerce Department reporting the economy grew at nearly 3% in the third quarter, and quite a lot of rebound in investment and surge in exports. So, I mean, is Craig Gilbert, is that Are people hearing that or not?
Well, you know, it is a fault line. I mean, when you talk about it, it's not just demographics, but when you talk about how people are doing economically, I mean, one of the most interesting things we've seen in Wisconsin is that Donald Trump is putting together sort of a different coalition than Mitt Romney did 4 years ago. He's doing better in not only in rural areas, but more blue-collar communities and in places that have been struggling economically. But just as interesting is he's really underperforming in more prosperous but very Republican areas. There are some suburban counties outside Milwaukee, which is the largest city in Wisconsin, that are just as Republican as anywhere in America. But they're better educated, higher income, they're doing pretty well economically. And I think people are temperamentally turned off by Donald Trump, but also I think that his message just doesn't resonate as much with them, even though they're very conservative and very Republican. And as a result, it's sort of offsetting his strength with more rural voters. And right now it looks like he's just sort of finding a different formula for losing the state than Mitt Romney did in 2012.
Oh, that's a devastating way to put it. Is this Waukesha that you're talking about, this ultra red county?
Yeah.
What are they going to do there? What are they?
Well, Trump will win the area, but he won't. This is a place where Republicans rely on kind of just mind-blowing turnouts and massive margins. I mean, it really is sort of the turnout capital of America. And you need, if you're a Republican running statewide, especially in a presidential election, it's a state where you need those massive vote margins to kind of offset the Democrats' big margins in cities like Milwaukee and Madison. So that's kind of like, that's the victory formula for Republicans, is to run up the score in these base areas, and he's not doing that. So it's not going to be good enough for him to just sort of win these areas. He has to blow out Hillary Clinton in these areas, and that's not happening because people have qualms about him.
Well, Ron, I mean, there's almost a tale of two Pennsylvanias in a way. You could talk to us about, and I noticed I did hear Hillary Clinton in one of the speeches that was broadcast here talking about 200 million Americans have registered to vote, which is the highest ever. And I've asked every editor we've had, do you think there'll be a big turnout? Now, that suggests there will.
Yeah, I think it does suggest it will. And we've had very strong registration numbers here in Pennsylvania as well. Our county election officials at least spoke to said they were seeing a very brisk business right up until our registration deadline passed a couple weeks ago. So I think there's going to be a big turnout. And I think the problem that Donald Trump is going to face is, you know, if there's a huge turnout for Hillary as expected in Philadelphia and Philadelphia suburbs, sort of like in Wisconsin, Trump's going to really have to run up the score big in central and western Pennsylvania, rural western Pennsylvania, to try and offset that advantage, because one out of three residents in Pennsylvania lives in Philadelphia or the Philadelphia suburban communities around it. So, and that's a gigantic Democratic stronghold. So he's going to have to perform extraordinarily well in the central and rural parts of this western Pennsylvania to offset that.
You have got some sort of, they're immensely committed. It's like, I gather a woman in Youngstown has even built a Donald-themed Trump house.
there is that, and he's gotten support in a lot of different ways. I mean, if you drive around like some of the suburban areas, rural areas, I mean, in terms of the yard sign contest, I would tend to think Trump would have the advantage in that area. I mean, especially in this area, you see a lot more Donald Trump signs than you probably will see in Hillary Clinton signs. But then when you get across into Montgomery County and closer to Philadelphia, that's where the Hillary signs take over too. So, I mean, but Trump is generally drawing big crowds, and he's connecting with people. I mean, he draws thousands of people whenever he appears in Pennsylvania. They are enthusiastic crowds. So it's not that he's not connecting with some of his base, but the question is he going to broaden it enough beyond the core people he's already appealing to? And can't stress enough, he's not doing at all well with anyone who's not white. He's getting almost no support from Latino or African-American communities here, and it's going to be tough for him to win without at least getting some marginal support from those communities.
And back to you finally, Craig. We've been hearing about this rift between Donald Trump and the leader of the House, one of Wisconsin's most popular Republicans, Paul Ryan. My colleague on Between the Lines, Tom Switzer, did a big piece on this during the week. Has it made life difficult for Ryan and other party leaders in Wisconsin? And you know, these races for the Congress, in some ways, I think are more interesting because there's a genuine super contest on there.
Yeah, I think it's made his life more difficult nationally than it has in Wisconsin. He's pretty popular in his home state. They had a run-in in August when Ryan had a primary opponent, a Republican primary opponent, who was a big Trump supporter. And Trump kind of intervened in the race and took this other guy's side, and Ryan blew out his opponent. And so it was kind of a win for Ryan and a loss for Trump. It's made Trump's life difficult in some ways because he's clashed now with the two most popular Republicans in the state, the governor, Scott Walker, who he kind of derailed in the primaries. It was a presidential candidate. And he's had all these clashes with Ryan. So it's taken a toll on both men. I think it's cost Ryan Republican support nationally, but less so in his home state. And I think it's complicated Trump's effort to win Wisconsin because, rank-and-file Republicans, where there is normally a lot of Republican solidarity, are kind of dumbfounded by this sort of conflict between their nominee and their highest official.
I can imagine. And look, very quickly, I'll just ask you, Craig, this amazing story about the FBI announcing it'll review more emails linked to the Anthony Weiner investigation. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know where it goes without knowing more. And we may not know too much more. I mean, it certainly is disconcerting for the Clinton campaign, and it's something for Trump to trumpet. But without, it's by definition, it's not the smoking gun that Trump's been looking for, because we simply don't know what's in these emails. It is sort of fitting to have this sort of bombshell, although it's kind of an empty bombshell, drop at the end of such a panic.
Makes one speculate about the, lost emails, I must say. Totally interesting development. Look, thank you both very much indeed.
Well, have a great
thank
day.
You.
Craig Gilbert, the Washington Bureau Chief of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Ron Southwick, the news editor of the Reading Eagle in Pennsylvania. Our last one next week. And by the way, you might like to have a look at the discussion that Tom Switzer and I had live on RN's Facebook, answering your questions about the US campaign and the election process. It was a lot of fun.